Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, we'll get to Paul Hamilton as part of our Football Friday. We'll take your calls on Bills Jets. We get, a little bit on the Sabres as well, who had their home opener last night. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Jeremy and Joe with you here on a Friday morning. A packed house for the Sabres home opener last night. They lost to the Kings 3-1. And Paul, we are... I'll say it this way, Paul. Good morning, by the way.
Hello.
I'll say it this way, that the Sabres, it's early. They're three games into the season. They've lost all three. They've scored one goal in each of those games. But fans are in midseason form.
They were great last night. That place was electric. I mean, the fans were they were ready to go. They wanted to cheer. They were just like on the edge of their seats. They were booing the referees. When the Sabres, they did score, but they did it a split second too late at the end of the first period. The place erupted. And when they did finally score, when Tuck got the shorthanded goal, they were great. Well, as I told you yesterday, I mean, they don't want to dislike their team. They don't want to boo their team. They want to come here and they want to really get into the game and enjoy watching this team play. And honestly, for two periods, I think they did enjoy watching this team play. I mean, it was just they did everything that they were supposed to do. I mean, if you would have said to me before the game that they were going to play the way they did everything that Lindy Ruff has asked them to do, I would have said, yeah, they're probably going to win that hockey game. And here they have a one-goal lead going into the third period, and usually when you have a one-goal lead going into the third period in the NHL, you do win the hockey game.
Or at least get it to overtime, earn up 1 point,
yes,
get there.
Exactly. And then who lets you down to start the third period? It's your captain.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he is just off to a horrible start. And I thought he played well right off the bat. He was flying. He hit people. I go, there you go. That's what you need from Rasmus Dahlin. But then he just a very careless turnover, a non-thinking careless turnover to start the third period, and it's in your net 13 seconds in. And then I'm just thinking, well, there it is. And then we've seen I've seen that movie many times where the Sabres, let a team hang around, dominate a game, and next thing you know, they're either tied or down. And you just could feel it that had a possibility of happening. And that happens. And then, the penalty kill I thought was great last night. I mean, they did a fantastic job of killing penalties, basically allowing one chance and out. And then they're killing a penalty. And Samuelson, just, what are you doing? He breaks the guy's stick with his stick. He slashes the guy's stick and breaks the guy's stick.
Yeah.
What are you doing? If that's not the dumbest penalty I've seen. So now they're down two men. Guess what? Puck's in the net. And now you're down, and there's only a minute 38 or something like that left. And now you've lost a hockey game that you had no business losing because of two incredibly dumb plays. Quite honestly, I was chatting with somebody last night. All right, we talked a lot about accountability and Lindy Ruff and accountability and everything. I don't know. Should Samuelson be sitting with us on Saturday and maybe let Dennis Gilbert have a shot? I mean, Dennis Gilbert probably is a type of defenseman that's more suited to play Florida anyway.
Didn't Lindy kind of sound like he might? I saw the quote, Paul, about he called the play hockey suicide. And again, like you just said it, there's just really no upside to that play. Like, that is just what's going to happen other than his stick might break, which is, I said this earlier, like one of two penalties they might call in a hockey game when you're already down a man with 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think it should start now. Let's hold somebody accountable and let them watch for the next game. So, you know, it's just, I don't know what to tell you other than there are two problems, and Jeremy's already mentioned one of them. They can't get games to overtime. They were one of the worst clubs last year in the league at getting loser points. If they were one of the best clubs at getting loser points, they probably would have made the playoffs. And here we are again, two out of the three games where they needed to get games to overtime and had opportunities to do it and couldn't even do that. The other, I've watched 85 games now where they can't score goals in a row. I mean, this team just cannot score goals. They hit posts. I have never seen a team hit more posts than this team does, and they did it quite a bit last night. They had wide-open opportunities. How many outnumbered situations did they have where they had just great chances to score, and they let – I might even be being kind by calling Darcy Kuemper an average goaltender. He's not a good goalie, but yet he's one in a long line of goaltenders that leave this arena looking like Dominic Hasek, thanks to the Buffalo Sabres. I mean, yeah, he had a great game. But the Sabres sometimes, I've seen goaltenders called up from the minors who look just like Kuemper did last night against the Sabres. They cannot score goals. And they had certainly enough chances. Those two mistakes should not have cost the Sabres because they should have had 4, 5, 6, 7 goals. You pick the number. They easily could have had any one of those numbers that I just mentioned where those two mistakes don't hurt you. But when you're playing it this close to the vest and you can't score goals and it's 1-0 and you make a mistake and it's going to be in your net and you make another one, it's in your net. You had no room for error and you're now your own 3.
So on the goal scoring, Paul, the top line, that was the one especially, right? Like Tuck, Thompson, and Benson felt like they had chances every time they were out there, but they didn't score a goal. Tuck did shorthanded. The second line, they didn't even really have that many opportunities, right? Like, to me, I almost have two stories with their two scoring lines. I had one line that had a million chances that just couldn't find a way to put it in. And then another line where, I don't know, are you seeing the same thing with the Cousins and Quinn combination that it just, I don't know, there are stretches of games where I'm not even really noticing them?
Yeah, they in the third period, they had one of the few chances. It was late in the game where Quinn came down leading the 2-on-1, put a perfect pass over for Byram, and I guess I'm going to repeat myself. He hit the post. He had Kuemper beat. I mean, and he hit the post on that one. They didn't seem to get as many opportunities. I haven't seen as much out of Jack Quinn as I thought I might. This early in the season, I'm not extremely worried about it. I think we will see him start generating more chances and maybe even scoring goals. I mean, he certainly has the ability to score 30 goals in this league. Cousins has the ability to score 25 to 30 goals in this league. Kulik, you know, who knows? I mean, I think he has the ability to be a good NHL player. He certainly was a lot better last game, this past game, than he was in the first game. But, yeah, I would say the Thompson line outchanced the Cousins line at least by 3. I mean, look at how many shooting attempts Thompson had. Around 15, something like that, and 5 were on goal.
Yeah, I know the line together had 26, so him being around 15 wouldn't be surprising. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And then Thompson, I mean, when it's just like shoot wide, and when he does get it on net, it just doesn't seem like it's a dangerous chance. He just, for I don't know if he's lost confidence or was he lucky when he scored 47 goals that year? Was it just luck? Has he lost confidence in his shot or lost confidence in his scoring ability that he can't get the puck into the net? I last year he scored 29. I believe he has the talent to be a consistent 45 to 50 goal scorer in this league, because I just saw how good he was that one year, and the year before he scored 38. So it's like, well, what happened? Or did he, was he lucky 2 years in a row? I mean, it's just now he has one goal in three games. It was because he worked really hard to get the goal when they went to the crease hard, and they were around Kemper. I mean, they were bumping him, and they were around him. It wasn't like guys weren't around the crease. They did score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Goal, but it was as close as you possibly could come to having the puck cross the line, you know, but after the period ended, and that's what happened. I mean, and again, it was a hard-working goal at the end of the first period. Benson put a move on the goaltender, and the puck entered the net or crossed the line a split second too late. It was as close as you possibly could come to not scoring a goal in the period. So they get a bad break there on a goal that they earned. It was a good, hard-working goal.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline as we chat about last night's Sabres game. You know, Paul, Lindy, after the game, I kind of just appreciated his tone. He's got a challenge here. When I think about McDermott coming in and when he had the drought and Rex coming in for the drought and, you know, coaches that were here that came in and there was the weight of a long drought ahead of them. And here's Lindy coming in, and he was here when it started a long time ago. I wonder if he kind of knows what he's in for here with the pressure. Because I don't think there's any doubt these players will feel it quickly, right? I mean, Cousins smashes his stick twice at the end of the game after the empty netter goes in. And I don't know how quick they will be to start to really get down on themselves. And he's got a job to, of course, coach the team tactically, but also to keep their heads on straight.
I don't know if in this case it'll be down on themselves. It'll be like, what do we have to do to score goals? Because they can't be disappointed in the way they played, because they played exactly the way they were supposed to, the way their coach asked them to. And, you know, I choose to say they just can't score goals on an average goaltender. Other people might say, well, what are you going to do? Their goaltender, stole a game for the other team. If you want to switch it around, but I've just seen the Sabres do this this group of guys do this too many times, where they make a goalie look good, and it's night after night. I mean, there will be games they score goals. I mean, there might be a game this year they score eight.
You promise?
Goals plural. Yes.
You know, the floodgates will open from time to time, but on a consistent basis, this team just has trouble scoring goals. And again, we can point to the power play. Buffalo had a 1 minute 9 5-on-3. They got one scoring opportunity. You know, Darlene found himself in the corner. He put a perfect pass over to Thompson, who was wide open. Great scoring chance. Kemper made, I believe that was one where they made the save, if I'm thinking correctly. And That's the only chance they had in a minute nine of a 5-on-3. Again, you score there, and even when, you know, Kopitar scores his goal in the third period, if that's the way the game unfolds, you're still ahead 2-1. You know, at least you're not tied yet, so you're still ahead 2-1. But, you know, they didn't take advantage of their own 5-on-3, and the power play is still over the season. And how many of the three losses could have changed with just one power play goal?
Paul's appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Eye on the Blue and Gold. Paul, we'll do one of those right now because they play tomorrow against the Panthers, and that's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Is it just whether or not they scratch Samuelson? Like, to me, there's a real eye on accountability here for a couple of really bad plays. And do they have the depth to do it is another part of this, because maybe Don Granato felt like he couldn't hold guys accountable. He didn't think he had the depth to do it. Does Lindy have the depth to do it, and will he?
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, since it's Florida, I would choose to put Gilbert in the lineup. If it was a more finesse team, I might choose to put Bryson in the lineup. But Gilbert is a heavier player, and, of course, we know Florida is a heavy team that's going to be cranky. And, by the way, Florida probably won't have their captain Barkov. He had to be helped off the ice last night late in the third period with two players, so there's a pretty good chance I don't think you're going to see him with Florida. But Florida lost 3-1 in Ottawa, so I don't think they're going to be happy campers. With the way Florida plays, Gilbert would be my choice for that particular game. So, yes, I think they have the depth to do it.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Yep.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Panthers tomorrow. Bills play Monday Night Football, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Your other games, we do have another London game Sunday morning. Jacksonville-Chicago.
That's Jacksonville, good Chicago.
It's a good opportunity to see the Chicago offense. I mean, see if Caleb Williams can do things against Jacksonville. Most teams have.
Their defense is also building a reputation right now. It's like they might be one of the better units in the league. Chicago?
The Bears?
They have a very good defense.
The Sunday night game is Cincinnati at the Giants.
Okay.
Of course, Bills and and Jets.
Back-to-back days on that field.
Yeah.
It's turf, though, so it shouldn't be like ripped up.
What's your confidence level in Bills-Jets? In the Bills winning this game. What's your feeling on this? Confident Bills, confident Jets, nervous?
Can I be confident and nervous? Confident and anxious? Like, I like their chances, and I also am just kind of spooked by the last two games. But
spooked by the games, and also that the injuries are piling up. It's a long injury.
That's another part of it.
But the thing I might want to say about the Jets is, are they going to beat a good team?
That's the thing.
I don't
that's
know that
got
they'll
me
beat...
feeling confident. The Jets are giving me the confidence.
Yeah, I don't know
not
that
the
Jets are going to beat a good team all year. They so far have beaten bad teams and lost to good teams.
And then lost to bad teams.
That's
so
right.
Lost
to Denver. That's right. Denver's defense might be one of the top units in the league, though.
Denver does have a winning record.
They do.
So far.
I just don't know that the Jets are going to have a win against a good team. And then I guess that's where you might want to jump in snarky and say, like, are the Bills a good team? I think they are. I think the defense, especially like this healthy defense, they're going to turn Rodgers over. They're going to be fine defensively.
Aren't a lot of their injuries right now that are starting to pile up on offense, like, which has its own fear. But the Bills dominating the Jets defensively, like they have Bernard back. We already made a great splash play, right, last week against Houston. I don't know. I tend to think they are going to get Taron Johnson back this week, just the way he's talking and the way now the red non-contact's off. So Bernard's back, Johnson's back. I did lose at Oliver, and that's big. But, okay, defensive tackle, and Dwayne Carter looks really good, and Daquan Jones is a grizzly bear in the middle of the field. So I feel pretty good. Rap's back too, so my big play that got over the top of me last week, like Cole Bishop's not even going to be on the field. Defensively, they should dominate the Jets. But my anxiety comes from, I don't know how many points they're going to score in this game.
Can I give you again, this is kind of like, you know, the picture, the meme of the guy pointing at his head?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be too snarky when I say this.
But
if the Bills are down receivers that aren't that good anyway, is it really that big of a loss? Right? Like, telling me Curtis Samuel can't play? He's not involved.
Let's say Samuel and Hollins can't play.
Okay.
Hollins,
I mean, Shakir being out, of course, is a big deal.
Sure. But, okay, so last week, who'd they have on the field? Their three receiver sets. What was the most popular trio? It was Hollins, it was Curtis Samuel, and it was Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
And MVS mixed in.
Yeah.
So this week, it'll be what? It'll be, if everybody missed that's on the injury report, then it would be Coleman.
Yep.
It would be
Tyrell Shavers.
MVS and Tyrell Shavers.
How different is that? Really?
And then it would be what? KJ Hamler?
Yeah. That's what I mean. How different is that?
It might not be that much worse.
The thing that this
Allen doesn't trust his guys. Well, maybe actually might be better because he doesn't trust. He throws a ball to Mac Hollins down the field in part because he probably trusts Mac Hollins more than he should. If that's Tyrell Shavers running that route, maybe Josh Allen's throwing the 5-yard route that he's supposed to throw there.
That's right. Maybe this is the second week in a row where we can also ask/wonder if Shakir is unable to go. You ready to put Keon Coleman in the slot? Coleman in the slot.
Has he practiced it?
You've had 2 weeks. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Shakir
missed last week. We did not see a lot of Coleman in the slot. It's another week where if Shakir's not going to go, Coleman in the slot, it's something he probably has the skill set to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already shown some yak ability. Josh wants to feed Coleman, does he not? If Shakir's not out there, isn't he going to want to feed, and especially with Mac Hollins not out there?
Coleman's his guy.
It's going to be Kincaid and Coleman.
Yep.
Then again, if Coleman's in the slot, then Kincaid's like,
or is it a Ty Johnson feed Ty Johnson revenge game against his former team? I'm not even kidding when I say that. They might come out running the football with Ty Johnson, and I'm not going to be stunned.
I mean, Josh needs to lift the earth on his shoulders in this game.
Against the team where that usually often does not go well.
That's right. They usually do well against these Bills. 803-0550. It is, of course, a Football Friday. You can give us a call on last night's Sabres game, on the Bills and the Jets on Monday Night Football, Niners and Seahawks last night. The Bills will play both those teams. The Niners looking better. The Seahawks looking not so great after a bit of a good start. Jeremy and Show, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.